Well, obviously, we're back at it.
Victor to Mo Baker from three in the wing. Got it!
I can't hear myself. This is Cameron Indoor Stadium West. It's unbelievable.
Good night, Vienna. Pistol firing. Luka's three-point jumper. Good! Cowboys win! Cowboys win! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four! Oh, the Cowboys are going to the Final Four!
Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. I am Carson Cunningham. The dog days of summer are here. It is hot in Oklahoma City. Is it hot down where you're at, Kyle, down in Dallas?
It is. It's excruciating. And I've got a bigger problem, and that problem is that I don't have my ceiling fan installed yet. So every time we do one of these podcasts, I'm out in my little shed, and I have to turn the AC off because it's too loud. And so I'm always just like drenched by the end of these.
Yeah. When you walk back in the house, is your wife just like startled? Like, what were you doing?
Yeah. She's like, what are you?
Are you running laps around the neighborhood?
Yeah, exactly. It's not good. It's like the one downfall of my office. But, I'm getting ready to head to the airport to head to what might be an even hotter place, which is Pittsburgh,
Oakmont.
Pennsylvania. Yeah.
So. Oakmont. Fired up for that, man. U.S. Open's coming all fired up for some golf. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but getting us through the dog days of summer is OSU baseball. They're heading back to Omaha for the first time since 1999. It's hard to believe it's been 17 years, but it's really cool to see OSU get back to where they really belong.
Yeah, I was in – I think I mentioned this last week, but I was in middle school the last time they were in Omaha. I mean, it doesn't feel like that, though, does it? Like, it doesn't feel –
It well, does to me, because I can't even really remember them playing in Omaha, and I was in middle school as well, but it feels like every bit of 20 years to me, just because it's been that long.
Yeah, well, they had Josh Holliday was playing. They had the one guy I remember. If I think about it, I probably remember a few more, but they had a guy named Lamont Matthews who was a right fielder. He was really, really good. And I was looking it up the other day. They lost. They went 0-2 in 99. They lost to Alabama and then to Rice to get knocked out early. They just rolled through the state of South Carolina in a pretty impressive fashion.
Yeah, you and I had some pretty impressive tweets. I loved you followed through on what we talked about with the palm tree and the moon, the little South Carolina state emblem, the orange and black. Are they putting that on the uniform this week?
They should. I mean, that should be the new – like, they should get rid of the interlocking OS and just go palm trees and half moons.
At least throw it on, like, the sleeve. You know, if you conquer a state like that, you deserve to, like, take a little piece of it with you.
Yeah, I got a bunch of kind of blowback from South Carolina people of like, act like you've been there before. And I'm like, well, we kind of haven't in a while.
It's been a while. Let me enjoy this. I felt kind of bad about putting the Pistol Pete throughout the entire state.
No, why? Why would you feel bad about that?
I don't know. I felt a little bit. I was waiting for some blowback, to be honest. I never got any. I guess you're a bigger deal than I am.
The state of South Carolina over the last 3 years, somebody had mentioned part of this to me, but they've delivered Mason Rudolph. They've delivered Brad Underwood via Stephen F. Austin.
And, so Underwood coached at South Carolina.
Yeah,
Frank Martin.
With Frank Martin. And now they've delivered Oklahoma State a College World Series. So, yeah, it's really exciting. I feel like, and I read about this a little bit, but I feel like Josh Holliday is sort of not getting enough credit. He likes to deflect a lot. He deflects to his coaches and his players and everything, but I think we all know sort of who everything runs through in Stillwater, and I just think he's been unbelievable. And this is all attitude and mental adjustments, right? Like that, I feel like he's just so good at finding the rhythm of his team and getting them ready for the postseason. I didn't realize this; they've never finished outside, I think, the top two in the Big 12 standings since he's been there. That's really impressive.
Yeah, he's been an incredible hire, and When they first announced it, I was kind of like, wow, they're going to go back to the Holiday well after Tom? Like, that doesn't – I know he's one of the top assistants in the country. But then all you had to do was hear him talk for 5 seconds at his introductory press conference. You knew he had a vision. You knew he was going to embrace all the old school things with Oklahoma State baseball, bring all the old players back. He's even brought the uniforms back, which has been incredible for you and I. it's been an incredible hire, and it is odd to me how against he is talking about himself. I was at their welcoming party at Allie P. Reynolds 2 days ago, which I want to talk about further. And I asked him, I was like, look, I know this is great for your players, great for your program. What about you, like, personally, to get your school back to Omaha? And the last time you were there, you were playing. Mm-hmm. What does this mean to you? And he basically just said, I'm not ready to talk about that. Just like, he will not, you know, gloat or make it anything about him, which I think speaks to a lot to his leadership and just how much he's grown as a head coach, because he really is embody that. And you got to give Mike Holder a lot of credit. You mentioned this in one of your articles you posted on the blog, and I totally agree. You know, Mike Holder got a lot of crap for the Travis Ford thing, and rightfully so, but he also deserves a lot of praise for this hire, because it was a stroke of genius. It's one of the best hires he's ever made.
Yeah.
And it's really brought back a program that was in the dumps. I mean, they weren't even making the Big 12 tournament, and now they're back to Omaha. So you got to give Mike Holder a lot of credit too.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously everybody's got a chance to win. I was kind of thinking today, I'm like, they've kind of got the starters to, if you win a couple games, like, you could actually win this thing. I mean, is that something, did you get to watch a lot, or are you kind
of I watched most of the South Carolina series and a lot of the Clemson, and for me, it comes down to their pitching. If their pitching can keep rolling, if they can keep their rotation the way they want it to, you know, if they don't have to, you know, burn Thomas Hatch in a loss, you know, if they can keep that where they want, I think they have a great shot. And another thing, the tournament really has opened up for them.
Yeah.
Only, I think, one team that hosted a regional is on their side of the bracket. That's fantastic.
Yeah, because you've got – so they open with UC Santa Barbara, which, by the way, that grand slam.
One of the best – not just college baseball moments, one of the best sports moments I've ever watched.
That has to be – if the ESPYs is still a thing, then that needs to be up for an ESPY because
– how about the umpire getting caught in the dog pile?
I watched it – I seriously watched it like 8 times, and by like the fourth time I noticed that, I was like, that guy – I hope he's all right, because – I mean, I can't even imagine. I played baseball my freshman year at a really small school, a Division III school, so obviously not as good as a UC Santa Barbara. But those smaller schools, like, you sort of, there's more there's more bonding, because you don't have dudes that are getting drafted. Like, it's really, really fun, and for a freshman to be able to do that, apparently this Louisville kid was like the best closer in the country, and he just smoked one off of him, and I don't know. That was pretty awesome.
Well, and let's be honest, there's some bad memories with OSU playing Louisville in baseball. So it was a good thing to happen too, on top of it being just an incredible moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was awesome. I watched it 3 or 4 times too. My dad actually texted me. He was watching it live, and he was like, "You have to show this on the news tonight. It's incredible. The umpire got caught in the dog pile."
How often do your parents or family do stuff like that, like text you and say, let me program your
My dad does it jokingly a lot, because he's a big St. Louis Cardinals fan. Okay. He's like, "You didn't show the Cardinals highlights tonight. You know, you probably should do that tomorrow." Or you know, great, like, we're both soccer. I grew up playing soccer, and, you know, there's a great goal. He's like, "Man, you can probably sneak that on tonight." It's like, I don't think my bosses want me showing like English Premier League soccer, Dad. Sorry. But yeah, they watch every show, and we always chat about it, so it's fun. But I was at the Allie P. Reynolds welcoming deal.
I was going to say, speaking of.
And against all odds, it was hot, it was muggy, you know, it was brutal outside. And then the OSU baseball team, for some reason, they're flying back from South Carolina. They had to stop in Memphis to refuel. It's like the pilot forgot to check the gas gauge or something. So it got delayed like an hour and a half, maybe. And I'm standing around, and we're all just kind of, you know, you're there, you're in Stillwater, you're not going to just go home. You've already committed, you're pot committed at that point. And then this older couple comes up to me and is like, "Hey, Carson," and extends their hand to shake hands. I'm like, "Hi, nice to meet you." And they're like, "We're the Porters." Kyle's dad. "You don't recognize my voice from the podcast? I've talked to you before." I was like, "Well, it took me a second. I recognize the voice now." But I was like, I was told him, like, "You didn't pass on that Southern drawl to Kyle." And it was really cool to meet your folks. They were there to welcome the OSU baseball team, and I wasn't expecting it, Kyle, because I thought they lived in Houston. Apparently, they've been living up in Stillwater for a little while.
Well, first First of all, my dad's expectation that you would remember his voice from talking to him from like 11 minutes 7 months ago is quite funny to me. But
I felt bad. Like, he made me feel bad that I didn't recognize it.
No, they recently bought a house in Stillwater, so they're up there quite a good bit of time. They like to go to the basketball and baseball games, and we've still got family in Houston, so they kind of split time, go back and forth. I'm actually surprised they didn't go to South Carolina for the regional. I think they're going to Omaha.
Yeah, it sounded like they were going to.
Yeah, but yeah, they sent me some photos. My mom obviously had to get. I'm surprised she didn't like print out one of the pictures and have you sign it or something.
She was very sweet. I really like your mom. We shook hands at first, and then we hugged after we were done, and when I was leaving. So
that's
we became really good friends.
Yeah, and, my mom was.
I've seen your parents more often than I've seen you lately.
Yeah, my parents have seen you more often than they've seen me as well. So
I was wondering that too. You know, you're down in Dallas; they're up in Stillwater.
Yeah, so. they come through every once in a while. You know, see the kids. Then the kids start crying, and they leave. And it's it's good.
No, it was fun running into them, and it was cool. There was about 100 fans or so there to greet the team when they got off the bus. It was really kind of cool to see. I mean, there was a lot of old school baseball fans there. You're talking some old school interlocking OS hats with like pins on them. Like, there was some old school baseball fans, and that's kind of who you got to feel the best for, is those people that, you know, have lived and died OSU baseball for so long, and it's been 17 years. So it was cool to be up there for that.
I mean, those are the people that will, you know, they think Monty Ferris is like the greatest shortstop that's ever lived. And did you see that photo I tweeted today of Pete Incaviglia
with the Copenhagen hat?
How good is that?
I died when I saw it.
if you haven't seen it, get on my Twitter, and I think it was Ryan Cameron that
I think posted it. He was there.
Tweeted out a photo of Pete Incaviglia in a Copenhagen hat and like a big gold chain from like the mid 80s. And I mean, he just looks like a dude who just hits bombs, which is in fact what he did.
He was the original Kenny Powers. I mean, rocking a Copenhagen hat and a gold chain, like, how much smack did he talk at the plate and back it up?
Oh, that's great. I did want to ask you.
I want that Copenhagen hat, by the way.
Who do you think has more? Actually, I hope OKC Dave puts this on his survey this fall. But who do you think has more goodwill right now from Oklahoma State fans between Mike Gundy, Mike Holder, and Josh Holiday?
It's got to be Holiday, I would think. I mean, actually, no, it's got to be Gundy. I mean, hell, he's been there over 11 years, 12 years. I'm losing count now, but you got to give it to Gundy. He's longest tenured. He's won a Big 12 championship. He's won a BCS game. Holiday's done an incredible job. He's back in Omaha, but you got to do a little longer, I guess, to get on Gundy's level.
Yeah, I feel like there's this like weird faction of Oklahoma State fans who just like don't really like Gundy, or like think he's, or just kind of put off by him. Do you get that at all, ever?
No, I don't get that at all.
Maybe they're just like weird people that comment on my site or something.
Maybe you're thinking back to those, well, I guess you're thinking back to the times when, I think you might be a little right in that. I think people were turned off by the whole flirtation with Tennessee and Arkansas.
Yeah.
That might still have, you know, rubbed people the wrong way. But I mean, I think now, I think they're through all that. I think they're over that, but you might be right a little bit.
Yeah, I just feel like Josh Holiday's, and this is recency bias, but I feel like Josh Holiday's approval rating right now is like 100%. Like there's like zero people who dislike Josh Holiday. But yeah, it's a really exciting time, I feel like, to be an Oklahoma State fan, because now you've got a sort of hope for the future in basketball. Obviously, football's rolling along. Baseball's good, and you've got some of these Olympic sports that are picking up as well. It's really a fun athletic program to not only cover but to be a fan of right now.
Yeah, times are good. I think Underwood really for me has improved the whole way of looking at OSU athletics. I think your guy Kyle Boone's done a great job covering recruiting. I guess June 15th today is when he can start Snapchatting and tweeting and Instagramming recruits or whatever. But it's the way I feel about Underwood, it's like it's like you have this, you just bought like this racehorse and you just let him run.
Yeah.
It's just, I every time I see these updates, he's recruiting like really good players. And it's just like, oh, this is what it's like to have someone who knows what they're doing and just let him go. Let him run, let him recruit. Like, he's going to work. And I'm trying to have a hard time verbalizing what I mean by that. But like, every time I see these recruiting updates, I'm like, go, Brad. Go on.
Yeah.
This is what it's like to have a coach who has his stuff together. So yeah. It's been fun to watch from afar.
I will say, and people have mentioned this, like he needs to – and this takes time. Like I don't expect him to land a bunch of five stars in his first 2 months on the job. But at some point, you got to build something. And it's not enough to just like chase after these five stars, none of whom you ever get. And so that – is something that you have to, I guess, be wary of. But
that's what got Ford in trouble too. He would go after these big fish and have to settle on these guys who weren't really Big 12 caliber.
So, yeah, yeah.
Well, it'll be interesting to see who he actually does get.
Yeah, and how he builds the thing, because I think that he understands that you're playing the long game. It felt like Ford was just always trying to like win a national title, like in a single, or win, I don't know what he was trying to do, but win the Big 12, like for a single year. And then he would hit the reset button the next year and worry about that year. And it's like, you have to play a longer game than that to build a program. And Underwood seems to understand that.
Yeah, it seemed like Ford was always doing like a patchwork job and just trying to fill it with big names rather than building a team.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see Underwood go to work. But it's been kind of revitalized, the athletic program, after, you know, a couple down years.
I do want to say, I feel like, do you remember the Jordan flu game, the Jazz?
Oh, how could I forget?
Yeah, I don't know why you wouldn't remember that, but
that was a seminal moment in my youth.
Do you remember when Pippen was like basically carrying Jordan off the
like
court?
That iconic shot of him like hugging him / carrying him off the floor.
Yeah, I feel like Jordan right now, and I feel like Kyle Boone is Pippen, and he's just he's just dragging me in the side. Oh, I mean, and I want to say that publicly. I've told him a little bit privately, but he's really taken the blog to the next level, I feel like. And we've got some other guys that are contributing and some more announcements to make over the next few months, but he's been really, really awesome. And I think your boy Adam Lunt was commenting the other day about just how good the recruiting coverage is, and he's talking to guys and doing interviews, and it's been really fun to see the site grow outside of myself, and specifically within recruiting. It's been cool.
Yeah, he's done a really good job, and I think one day you're going to try and log into your site, and he's going to have you locked out.
I know. He's actually
going to take it over.
He's actually probably planning a coup, like while I'm at the U.S. Open, like changing all the passwords. And
it's going to be like Facebook, Zuckerberg. He's just going to take it from you.
Yeah.
One night you're not going to be able to log into PFB. You're going to have to start like the MySpace version of OSU blogs.
And then I'll just be this. that would be bad. But no, he's been great, and it's been fun to read about recruiting on my own side. It's been really cool. So,
yeah.
You want to go? I actually wanted to just briefly before we get to U.S. Open stuff. Have you been watching the NBA Finals?
Yeah, I've been watching. I've changed to I want to win like five times.
Really? Who is it currently?
I think it's a strong Cleveland. I think.
Really?
Yeah. The Warriors rub me the wrong way. Like I know they've gone from the year they won it the first time, they were kind of this fun, like they had 100% approval rating, and they were a fun team to watch. I loved the video of them in the plane singing one of those songs, like with the trophy. Like, I didn't mind the Warriors winning, but Draymond Green is just
– he's the worst.
He's detestable. And I can't stand watching him win basketball games. And even Steph Curry's rubbed me the wrong way. He's a cocky little, you know what?
He's also the second best basketball player on the planet.
I mean, he has a right to be cocky, but like Klay Thompson, I feel like, has been better than him, and he's not over there like, you know, gesturing every single time he does something good, which, you know, I would probably hate Russell Westbrook if he didn't play in Oklahoma City. He's like the same thing, you know, he's kind of a mix of Curry and maybe even Draymond a little bit as far as just, you know, smack talking.
Yeah.
But I don't know. And I've never been like I liked LeBron the first go around in Cleveland. The Miami stuff rubbed me the wrong way. I don't hate LeBron. I respect him. I think he's the best. I tweeted this the other night. He's the best player since Jordan for me. Yeah. People can talk about Kobe all they want. On their best days, LeBron's better. And so I don't mind LeBron. It'd be weird to watch J.R. Smith lift the trophy. I'm changing my mind as I talk right now. I don't even know. But LeBron delivered the other night, didn't he? I mean, the chips were down. An all-time great performance when they had to have it.
It was unbelievable. I watched most of it. I thought Royce Young tweeted this in 2 minutes in. He's like, well, this is over. And I thought it was because the Warriors went up 10. And LeBron just dragged him to game 6. And
Kyrie, too, I guess. We got to mention him.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
I feel like Kyrie annoys me.
I don't like his game at all.
Yeah, like, I don't like.
He'll score 30, and I'll be like, "What did he really do?"
Yes, I'm glad I didn't tweet this because I almost tweeted when he had like 20. Like, what am I supposed to be watching with Kyrie? And then he had like 20 in the next 3 minutes. So,
well, I was at the station. I said, I said out loud to the whole station, like, Kyrie Irving does less than nothing for me. A bunch of hollow stats is all he is. And then he drops 41. Whatever the hell he dropped.
Yeah, it's been a
Draymond going back to Cleveland will be awesome.
Yeah, it will. I'm gonna meet up with some guys tomorrow night, and hopefully everybody watch that together.
Who are you pulling for?
The Warriors. My Steph love runs pretty deep.
Do you like his new shoes?
No, they're not good.
Grandpa shoes.
They're bad. But I just. Viscerally, I think they're the most fun team I've ever seen play basketball.
Yeah, and they get it rolling. They're pretty good.
And so that's sort of like the thing that I go by when it's not a team that I just am neutral. Like, I don't really care. So I'm pulling for them. I love Steph. I love watching Clay shoot. So yeah, I mean Draymond, whatever, like I just ignore him. But by the way, I like Sean Livingston too. But do we have any idea how old Richard Jefferson is? Like
could be 44 if you ask me. I have to look it up. I feel like he played on the Jason Terry Arizona team in like 96.
Yeah. Like didn't they win it all did they win it all? 97, I think Arizona won.
They
it all.
Did, but he played in like 2000.
Maybe.
Him and Luke Walton played.
Didn't he, like, precede Keith Van Horn at Utah? Like, didn't they, like...
No, he's not that old. I looked it up. He's, like, 36. He's the same age as Luke Walton, who's not even playing anymore for 3 years.
He's, like, yelling about fouls that Richard Jefferson has committed.
And Jefferson's been, like, their third best player.
I know. I don't get it. Like, I look at the dudes Cleveland's rolling out there, and it's like, these guys are in the finals, and the Thunder, I mean, I get it. They're in different conferences, but it's just like, this is weird. Like, Dellavedova, like, get off my TV screen. Like,
well, Kevin Love's turned into just a guy after being one of the best 11 players in the league a few years ago.
Yeah, it's weird, but I don't know. It'll be a fun final couple games.
Let's talk about the U.S. Open. You're heading to Pittsburgh?
U.S. Open, heading to Pittsburgh.
You got a lot of good stuff on CBS. It helps me mold my two pool teams. I'm doing a U.S. Open pool just for fun.
Yeah, a lot of fun. I wanted to talk about your pool teams, and I want you to give me your names, and I'll tell you how I feel about those two teams.
Well, I did two teams, and the Masters is shaping both of these because I try to usually do like just a couple of the top dogs and then sprinkle in three middlings. But after watching the Masters and just how loaded that leaderboard was, I'm going all studs with my first team. And you rank them in order. So I'm going 1 through 5 here. Jason Day is my first pick. I assume you think he's the favorite.
Yeah, he's going to win.
He's going to win it? He's your pick to win it?
Yeah.
I would agree. You know I love Jason Day, so I'm all in on him.
Yeah.
I felt really dumb for leaving Jordan Spieth off of every team last year or last during the Masters.
Well,
that just felt like just total idiocy.
I was looking back at my Masters predictions, and I said that he would guaranteed finish outside the top 25. So you're not alone.
Well, your writing may have influenced me a little bit too, so I blame you. So he's my second pick.
I like that. Those are the only. We can talk about this more in a second, but those are the only two guys in the field that I trust at all. Like, everybody else I look at, I'm like, nope, don't trust him, don't trust him.
I'm terrified to watch. We're just watching these videos of the greens.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm scared. I'm, like, covering my eyes.
It's going to be bad.
But the guy who I really want, or I really will pick to win it, other than, you know, it's, I have to pick Jason Day. But this is the guy I have all my stock into for my third pick, Brooks Koepka.
Brooks Koepka,
your boy.
I love it. He finished fourth at the U.S. Open in 2014. Didn't get a lot of recognition because Martin Kaymer won by like 55 strokes, and Ricky Fowler actually finished second that year. So Koepka was like a sneaky fourth place finish. He's coming off back-to-back second place finishes in his last two tournaments. He's a beast. He
hits it a mile.
Yeah, he's one of the best ball strikers in. He's one of the best American ball strikers in the game. So I'm. Well,
and you've been on him for a long time, and I was always kind of like, Brooks Koepka. He's never going to win anything. And then I saw him the other couple weeks ago. Maybe it was the Byron Nelson.
Yeah,
he's head to toe in Nike, which just I was swooning.
And
I'm all in.
And he's a null.
And he went to Florida State. So like, what's not to like?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all in. Koepka's the guy that he will make or break my team. Both of them. He's my third pick.
I love it.
And this guy I fade every tournament, but I just can't do it anymore. Rory McIlroy, fourth.
Yeah, I would fade him too. Here's my problem with him.
Just can't though.
He's not. So there are two things that are kind of rubbing against each other. I don't think he's ever going to win a U.S. Open again because he doesn't stay mentally engaged. Like he just is. I don't know. He's like thinking about soccer or something.
Footer.
But the thing rubbing the other way against that is Oakmont has historically only produced great, like all time Hall of Fame level champions. The average winner at Oakmont has gone on to win, on average, 28 PGA Tour tournaments in his career. So, like, it's not a joke. Like, you don't just, like, roll in there as, like, a, you know, first-timer and win. So that's the thing that I'm like, man, it feels like a Rory or a Day or somebody like that. But I'm out on Rory generally at U.S. Opens, but I think he'll be okay with that pick this week.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm going heavyweights, and you can pick any golfer in the field, so that's why I have all these studs. So, fifth, another guy I never put on my team because everyone else likes him and he can't putt a lick. I can putt probably better than him is Dustin Johnson.
How about this? Did you know?
He drives me crazy.
Did you know Dustin Johnson this season is putting better than Rory and Ricky?
Wow, no, I didn't know that.
Shocking.
But let's be honest, he's not been putting at Oakmont.
True. That is,
I mean,
true.
Watching him at the Masters, just if he could have putted at all, he would have won it.
Yeah, I mean, he's the only I think he's the only guy the last two seasons to finish top five at the U.S. Open. So,
well, I guess that's true. That's the only reason I'm putting him on here. I don't like him or Rory. I never pick them, but I'm going all heavyweights.
Yeah, and he's got like five of his last seven tournaments. He's finished in the top five, so he's got some momentum too. I mean, if that's the leaderboard, I'm gonna have to stay in Pittsburgh for like three extra days to write everything that has happened because that's a big boy leaderboard right there.
Yeah, that'll be fun. My second team, in order to win these pools, you got to kind of go off the beaten path a little bit. You can't pick all heavyweights like that team usually and win. So my second team is a little more of a mix and match. But number one is Ricky Fowler.
Yeah.
I would feel stupid not picking him. Like he's going to win a major at some point. Yeah. I would feel terrible if I hadn't picked him.
Well, I wanted to pick him to win this week, but he's just been so bad recently. Missed the cut at the Masters, missed the cut at the Players Championship, missed the cut at the Memorial. He's good enough to do it. I don't know. He's just a little bit off right now. He's not putting well either.
Seems a little too relaxed on Snapchat as well.
He's hanging out with Jason Day's kid, and
yeah, like Justin Thomas is bringing him down. I think
Justin Thomas is going to win this tournament. You're going to feel foolish.
Yeah, that's my bold prediction. Justin Thomas is not going to win this. Number two, I couldn't help myself. Brooks Koepka. I got to put him on both teams.
I love it. I love it.
If he wears like full Florida State garb on Sunday, I will be like doing the war chant in my living room. Bobby Bowden standing near the 18th green just to greet him.
That's amazing. Another Seminole won last week in Memphis, Daniel Berger.
I didn't know he was a Seminole. I like him too.
Yeah.
I like his wife too. She's nice looking.
That's not his wife, but yes.
Oh, girlfriend?
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Girlfriend. Okay. Yeah. My bad. Number three, this is a guy that after watching the Masters, I'm saying I'm picking him at least every tournament. Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki. So my colleague at CBS, Robbie Callen, is our other golf writer. He splits between golf and college football. He has a crush on Hideki, the likes of which I've never seen before. He loves Hideki. Hideki's great. He gets a little bit lost just because people don't remember him, and he's not a great quote and whatever, but he's probably one of the five best ball strikers in the world.
Well, I'll say this. The golf fans have certainly caught on because he's on a lot of teams,
yeah,
every single major. So I think a lot of people have noticed how good he is. And he's got that interesting swing where he kind of like pauses at the top.
Oh, I love it. I love that swing. Yeah, it's great.
I'm going to try and do that this weekend and just spray it all over the place, I'm sure. Number four is another guy. These last two guys are guys I always like to pick, and I'll feel dumb if they win and I hadn't picked them. So I'm like pot committed, like I keep saying. Number four is Matt Kuchar.
Yeah, it's a great pick. He's one of five guys in the last five U.S. Opens to make every cut. So you should feel good about that. He's straight. He's not super long, but you don't need to be on this course. This course is actually pretty short. It's 7,200 yards. And if you're straight like him and keep out of the rough, he's gonna play well.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I've read, everyone's pretty high on him, which should scare me, I guess.
Probably.
He's playing well going into the tournament.
Yeah.
And number five, last but not least, I have a Robbie Callen-sized crush on this man. I love this man. You know how I ripped on Spieth for playing too slow? This guy plays fast. He barely stands over his putts. Brant Snedeker.
Yes.
I love him.
Sneds.
He's one I have – like, he's an automatic. Like, he's written in pen on every team that I pick.
Yeah, I didn't realize this, but I think he's been top 10 at each of the last two U.S. Opens, which
– nobody notices him.
No.
So he's always up there.
I agree with you. Nobody thinks about him. Nobody – and he's won like eight times on the PGA Tour. Like, he's a really, really good player.
He's so good at putting, you'd have to think a U.S. Open would be his tournament.
I was going
to
say, if he's another guy like Kuchar, he's not super long, but he's pretty straight, pretty accurate. And he's got a really good disposition in terms of putting and just not getting frustrated and flustered. So, yeah, I love it.
And he loves the Masters. Like, he would probably trade his U.S. Open trophy for a Masters, which speaks to my heart as well.
He has said – I've seen him on video say before that he would, like, in 0.1 seconds trade – all of his PGA Tour wins for a green jacket.
Yeah, me and him should hang out. Yeah. I love Brant Snedeker.
Yeah, so. He's awesome.
I can't quit Brant. Those are my two teams.
He's an SEC guy. You're becoming an SEC guy. Yeah.
Where do you go? Is he Ole Miss? Vanderbilt?
Vandy, yeah. He looks like a
Vandy. I don't even consider Vanderbilt like part of the SEC. That's a thing. They don't count.
That's going to be the headline for this podcast.
They're like a really good private school that just happens to collect checks from the SEC.
Okay, I've got a question for you as a golf consumer. How do you rank the four majors in terms of viewability? Which one do you like to watch the most, and which one do you like the least?
Masters is clear one, just because you know the course so well. They usually put up good scoring as far as, you know, low numbers. British would be two. I love it's such a perfect mix of just a change of pace to go to the Lynx courses. I love when they play at like St. Andrews. And I really equate – I played a lot of Tiger Woods golf in college on the, you know, the Xbox or whatever. So I like know every nook and cranny of St. Andrews. And same with the Masters. So like when they're playing it, I can remember all those days of in college where I didn't go to class and played Tiger. So I'd go Masters 1, British 2. I guess you have to have the U.S. Open 3 just because the PGA is – obviously the fourth best major. I don't like U.S. Open style golf. Like, to me, it's not fun watching guys hit it into 5 foot tall rough. Like, that's just stupid. Like,
yeah.
it's just dumb. I don't like guys shooting, you know, four over to win. I'd rather watch people make birdie than bogey. That's just how I've always liked to view golf.
Yeah.
So that's how I'd rank it.
I think that's how most people view it. I think the U.S. Open is,
some people love the U.S. Open and like bogeys. They like they love watching the golfers like get mad. It's like, that's just bad. It's bad TV.
Yeah, I think that I think the U.S. Open is more interesting than it is fun. It's certainly not fun. Like, that is not how I would describe it. But I do think it's pretty fascinating because you get a lot of decision making. You get a lot of, I mean, even the end of last year with Dustin Johnson and Spieth, that was really fascinating to see the choices that they made and what they did. And I don't know. I'm glad it's only once a year, but I do. I'm glad that there's at least one tournament like that where it's just carnage all over the place.
So you're picking Jason Day?
I'm picking Jason Day.
Your long shot is Furyk?
My long shot, well, I actually, that accidentally got published, but
secret info here.
I know. I do like Furyk, but my actual long shot that is published correctly now is Kevin Chappell.
Yeah, I saw his name a bunch. Why are people so high on him?
Well, he's got two top tens at the U.S. Open in his career. He's been playing really well this year. He's a Nike guy, so you should be automatically in on him.
Okay, yeah, I'm in.
He's a good player. He's somebody that people just haven't really heard of a lot, but he's really straight. He's really precise, and he's 100-1. So 100-1 is you just start throwing names out there. But I think I mean, it's really the only major that he's played that well at. So I don't know. I just kind of a sneaky gut feeling, I guess.
As a golf writer, what would be the best story?
That's a good question.
Who winning? Probably maybe Patrick Reed flying in on an eagle with bathed in an American flag.
Yeah, he's actually got an American flag onesie that he's going to that he's going to rock on Sunday. I think it is. Either Dustin or Phil. Probably Phil.
Yeah. Phil's usually always the pick for that.
Career slam.
Oh, yeah. The ghosts of Wingfoot will go away.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, we're actually going to call somebody right now.
Oh, we are?
Yeah, we are.
You're bringing this on me. Okay.
Yeah, to talk about the U.S. Open. I'm kind of talking to them as we... as we chat here. But yeah, we're going to call the other Zach Robinson.
This is Zach.
Zach. Hey.
Hey, man.
Kyle Porter.
What's going on, dude?
Not much. Carson Cunningham is here
I'm
as well.
I'm here too, Zach.
Are we live right now? Like, is this like all, on the record?
You're on the podcast.
Yeah.
On the record.
Don't curse.
I feel like Trammell, when he calls into the animal. This is a big day here.
We're talking about Oakmont. You've never played there, but you obviously played golf at Oklahoma State, had a great career there, and I'm sure you know a lot of guys who have played at Oakmont. How difficult is that course?
It's arguably one of the hardest courses in the world. Especially when they get, the rough up and the greens firm and fast. I've traded a few texts with Alex Noren up there, who I lived with for 4 years, two-time All-American, really, really talented out of Sweden. And he's just, he said it's a bear. So it's a monster. It's going to, it's going to be a big boy who wins this week. It's unrelenting. It's unrelenting as a golf course.
Who are you picking to win?
Man, it's hard to pick against Spieth, as strong as he's been lately and as mentally tough as he is. If he starts to get a little bit off with the swing, though, he can't score it as easily as he can at, Colonial out there. There's going to be too much that he has to face. So, I have to look at Spieth and Day and Rory as probably my top three. Johnson's up there as well, just a really good story of redemption, and he's just so talented. But I'll take Rory this week.
Zach, you're taking Rory. Wow. Okay.
I'll take Rory this week.
You played at Oklahoma State. By the way, if people didn't catch that, this is Zach Robinson, the other Zach Robinson, the original Zach Robinson.
I'm older.
You played at Oklahoma State in the mid-2000s, won a national championship. Did you guys won it all? 2006?
We did in 2006.
Okay.
Yep.
What is the, did you ever play in a U.S. Open? And if not, I did not have time to look this up, but what's the closest you ever got to playing in an Open?
I did not. Thank you for asking. I played at the sectional qualifier, one of the tour sites, in 2005, in Maryland. And I shot 5 under, and I think I missed the playoff by probably 4 shots.
Jeez.
Pablo Martin was at my site that year, 2006 College Player of the Year for OSU, from Spain. And he was in the playoff. And I do not think he did not make it. Actually, I jumped on the bag for him. It was like a 6-for-3 or an 8-for-4, Sundance playoff. And I jumped on the bag for him. He was eliminated on the first or second hole. I then jumped on the bag for Matt Every, and I'm happy to say, I don't know if Matt would ever even remember this, but he made it through. I think he made a birdie, like the one hole that I caddied for him, and he gave me this big bear hug because he was in to play, you know, in the U.S. Open. I think it was at Wingsfoot that year, and so he hugged me, and that was the extent of our. I was off the bag for him, and I haven't been called back since.
You've missed your calling as a caddy.
Maybe I did. Unfortunately, I'm probably a better looper than I'm player. I'm sorry to say, but yeah, I got him into the US Open. So you're welcome, Matt, wherever you are. Actually, probably at Oakmont.
Zach, what do you think about the state of OSU golf? I know they haven't won a title since you were there. What do you think about Alan Bratton and the job that he's doing, and just what do they have to do to kind of get back to where, you know, the OSU baseball team's back to where they belong? What does the golf team have to do to get back?
Yeah, I think Alan's, first of all, he's a great guy, and he's a really, really great coach. And, you know, I think it's been said, you know, a lot of it just it comes down to who you have, your players. And, you know, unfortunately, and you know, Coach Holder would probably argue this the other way, but, you know, so many schools now have their own course, and they're in the gym at 6 a.m. And, you know, they're traveling around on jets. I mean, there are so many schools now that have the resources that, you know, OSU has had for, you know, 20 or 30 years that you know, a lot of schools are good and a lot of schools can challenge for it, you know, every year. So the recruiting's gotten, I think, you know, a little bit harder. And you know, a lot of schools are good. So, and I think, too, you know, the match play element, is really exciting, you know, for TV. It's really, I think, elevated college golf. I do think it changed the, you know, the dynamic of who can win. I think it's opened it up now to where, you know, almost any school that's there that week, you know, without, you know, within, let's just say there's, you know, 15 schools there, each year now that can win. And, you know, before there were probably only 5 or 6. So I think it's opened it up. So I think it's a little bit harder to win. It's a little bit harder to recruit, but you know, OSU and just the facilities and the history, the name, Alan's doing a great job. I think it's just, you know, I think they almost won in obviously 14 and 11, 08 and 09. They were, you know, up there as well. So, you know, you could argue that they've, you know, had a fall off. I wouldn't say that. I just think it's harder now to win, and you know, you just got to have the players. And so, you know, Alan has recruited well and will continue to. And so, I would expect them to be right back up there, you know, challenging to win, you know, every year going forward.
Zach, who's the best non-Oklahoma State player that you've ever seen or played with or played against?
Ryan Moore, you know, those, you know, college and your amateur days, he was something else. And, yeah. I got introduced to him at the U.S. Junior Amateur in 2000, up in Oregon. And, in the semifinals, he beat me 6-5 and it was over early. he wore me out. And then in college, you know, he was really good as well. So he just, I mean, the guy, you know, he had his own swing. He has his own game. He has his own style, but he knows it so well. He's so confident in it. He was really, really good.
Yeah.
He was really, really good. Great player. Still is, but man, he had a, you know, 2 or 3 years there, your college amateur golf, where he was unbeatable, obviously.
Zach, is your wife named Katie?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I knew your wife in college, so we're kind of going.
She was a Kayo.
Yeah, she was a Kayo. She was in the journalism department with me back in.
She was.
Yep. Well, like marketing, I think journalism and marketing and all those were kind of under the same roof. So I can't remember what major she was, but what was it like being named Zach Robinson in college?
It was great for like 3 years. Yeah, no, for 3 years was great. I remember, so I was a redshirt senior, I think. So this is the 05-06 year, I think Zach's first year. I think that's right. I don't know. But I remember we were in the gym one morning and one of the trainers went, "Hey, wait a minute. Zach Robinson, Zach Robinson." And we were like 6 feet apart. And so it was one of those awkward, like, "Hi, you know, you exist, I exist, handshake, same name, I'm the quarterback, I'm way cooler than you, okay, see you later." And then that was about it. And so, but the funny part is years after that, I mean, I'd be at work or something, and, you know, I'd be on the phone with somebody. And he's still in school, so he's still, you know, the quarterback. And I'm working at, like, you know, an investment firm. And at the end of the call, "Now, I just have to ask you, are you the quarterback?" Like, "Yeah, I moonlight at this investment firm. Meanwhile, I'm the quarterback." So I've gotten it from, like, HVAC guys, you know, and you come to fix the AC at my house, everybody. It's been a blessing. I like Zach a lot. Man, he was awesome at OSU, and everything I know, you know, about him, he's a good guy. So the only thing that's, you know, the difference is that I have the K at the end, and he's just ZAC. But no, I joke a lot. He's a good guy, and it's been good to share the name with him.
Yeah, that's that is very funny. Okay, we'll get you out of here on this. Is there any sort of message you want to send to your buddy OKC Dave, who has obviously been on here, written on the side a lot? Do you have anything you want to say to him?
I mean, I've been on the pod now, so, like, I'm coming for him. You know, coming for him. I've written something for OKState.com that got a little airtime, so he needs to watch out. I'm coming for him. Now, I work like 15 feet away from him, and so he's kind of like the guy who went before me and is so much more known than I am. But I'm coming for him. He needs to watch out. Yeah.
That's great, Zach. Hey, we appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk about Oakmont and your golf experience, and hopefully we'll give you. It was a test run. We'll do it again with some more time in the future.
That sounds great. If you see Every up there, you tell him that, you know, I got him started in U.S. Opens.
He won those two Arnold Palmers because of that those two holes that you caddied for him.
He might know who I am, and he will not remember that hug. That's okay. I do, obviously.
That's great. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye.
See ya. Bye.
I've played golf with OKC Dave before. I maybe need to call him up and get Zach out on the course.
Yeah, you need to go hustle some people at,
no kidding,
at Lakeside or something.
No kidding.
Yeah, sorry to spring that on you. We were chatting and he had not responded, and then he did, and I was like, "Oh, we better pull the trigger on this before we get out of here."
Yeah, you surprised me. I was nervous. I had no idea who was going to be on the line.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was fun. I got to get out of here cuz I'm about to leave, but
miss your flight.
Enjoy the golf this weekend.
Will do, man.
Okay.
I can't wait to talk to you about it when you get back.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
See ya. Bye.